It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Nightside Project. Finish the day happy, happy with Ethan Millard and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome to the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard. I got Alex Keery here.
Hey, who else is super depressed about partisan politics?
About everything that's going on.
Woo!
Not me. Look at this huge grin I've got on my face. Hey, Alex.
What's up, dude?
Second episode here in a couple of days.
Yeah,
this is awesome.
Really good.
This is awesome, and lots happening in the world. We're not going to talk about any of it, except, actually, I did find one thing.
First of all, I don't appreciate you screenshotting our personal text messages between
text
one another.
Conversation.
And you did not specify who the person was that made the grammatical goof.
Well, but I think it's implied because...
Is it?
Well, because everyone
knows
which
side...
Because
your text is blue?
Everyone knows, yes, everyone knows which side the text and the response is on. So I think people
What did you
get.
Say, though? I can't remember. I'm going to bring the stink today.
Yeah, I got some good stink.
I got some good stink I want to throw on the show, bro. I go, okay.
There were a couple of things, though, that...
What?
And I meant to write stuff. I meant to type stuff.
No, I know, and you did.
I did afterwards.
You did.
Well, I apologize for putting our...
Hey, did you see that, though?
But don't worry. That tweet generated zero response, so don't worry about it. It's
hey,
no one cares about
let
it.
Me ask you this.
Hmm.
Did you see Saved by the Bell's coming back?
No,
yes, they're rebooting Saved by the freaking Bell, dude.
Well, what are they going to do about Screech?
Well, I think they address that in the first few episodes. Like, they'll probably
he died
do
in a car crash.
No, yeah, that's what they'll do. They'll do one of those. I think what they're going to do is do one of those things where they have him at his grave, like at the beginning.
The first episode is when they bury Screech.
They have to be like, he was a good man before he got into all that meth. And then, like, it's kind of interesting because, okay, well, here's the deal. So I'm gonna play part of the trailer for you. And so just listen in and see what's going on here.
Bayside.
Hey! What's up, Bayside? Woo!
Yo, mama. Sorry, Dr. Mama.
How do you think this year's gonna go for these new students?
I'm psyched.
You're excited for the first day of school?
Why is everybody so rich?
Are you ready for my party Saturday night?
I got DJ Khaled's baby to make you a playlist. It's okay.
Time out. What is up with these kids? Yeah.
In attendance will be the governor of California.
Max, Dad?
You look amazing and your hair's fire.
Zach Morris is the governor of California.
That did not sound like Saved by the Bell.
I know, because they're trying to... But listen...
Maybe if
yeah,
I saw
dude, it's
it,
new.
Would make sense.
You
but-
would. Yeah, okay, so well, let me just walk you through. In that first 30 seconds of this clip, you've already seen that AC Slater is working at Bayside High School as a coach of some sort. You've already seen that Jesse...
Jesse
Spano is no longer addicted to caffeine pills or dancing on stripper poles. Mm-hmm. She is now... the principal of the high school, I'm assuming.
Okay.
And then, what's his name, is the governor of California. And Kelly Kapowski shows up, and I think Lark Voorhees.
She was my favorite.
You liked Lisa? Lisa
yeah,
Turtle?
She was always my favorite.
I'm glad they brought her back, because she's had some like kind of struggles in her own life, but it was nothing like the Screech struggles. But yeah,
Dustin Diamond
nowhere to be found.
Hold on. I'm into it. I'm in,
he's
I'm in the
be,
rabbit hole now.
I know. He's got to be dead at this point.
No, I would, that
let
was
me
my
just,
thought. That
let
was
me
my
just
thought.
Bring
what
something
are they
up.
Going to do with Screech? But he's alive.
Okay, let me bring something up. This is 100% taking advantage of the fact that guys like you and I knew what Saved by the Bell were when we were growing up.
Yeah.
I watched it in spades, you know, like after school. I would watch the back-to-back episodes, you know what I mean? Because it was on TV between like 4 and 5:30, and then my parents would show up and I'd turn the TV off and go, I wasn't watching three episodes in a row of Saved by the Bell.
Mm-hmm.
And so I watched a ton of Saved by the Bell. I have the Saved by the Bell board game. And on top of all that, it's this effort of rebranding everything and just kind of recreating what the past was for this new generation who are now spending money or consuming media. I went into the local Macy's grocery store the other day. Okay,
yeah.
Going to the grocery store, and there's a massive Halloween section that is featuring in huge boxes and a huge sale of Count Chocula cereal, Boo Berry cereal, and Captain Frankenburger. What is it? What's the Frankenstein
Frankenberry.
One? Frankenberry. There's Frankenberry, there's Boo Berry, and why do you have to have two berries, by the way?
And the Choco.
Count Chocula.
Count Chocula, yeah.
And so those were the three things, and I thought to myself, my mom would walk straight past this stuff because it doesn't mean anything to her. But yeah. I, and my wired, like, eight-year-old brain went, oh, we could never afford Boo Berry, or my parents would never go for the Boo Berry, or the frankincense and myrrh. Yeah. cereal,
the frankincense and myrrh,
and the Count Chocula, and they know that people like me, who are now approaching 40, have kids, and my kids are like
little disposable income,
and my kids are like this. What is this? Yeah, definitely lower standards. My kids are like, what is this? And I'm like, it's amazing. And then they're like, is it really? And I'm like, actually, it looks terrible. And I think that Saved by the Bell, this edition of it, is. You know, it's Frankenberry. You know, it's not great, but it is something that says something from my childhood.
It speaks to that.
That's why we
that
jumped
nostalgia.
In on it. Yes.
So Dustin Diamond is not in that. He's not in the trailer, and I guess he's not doing.
There's no way. There's no way they're bringing him back.
Hold on. Five things to know about Saved by the Bell's Screech, noticeably absent from reboot.
Yeah, no, he's not going to be in it.
Why
there's
not?
No, because he was
Screech
in like
made that
a,
show.
No, he did not. He was, yeah, they're like, Dustin Diamond's not in the trailer. And the thing is, it's because he got into making some adult films and things like that. But Jesse Spano did, too. You're right. Yeah, his were, like, really bad, though.
So Dustin has ideas of what Screech would be doing today in the reboot. So he told TMZ in February 2020 that, quote, Screech should be dealing with parenthood and dealing with his kids and finding out maybe he wasn't a barrel full of roses to deal with growing up. In other words, he comes to terms with the fact that no one likes him. But I liked him.
Well, he's had a couple bad arrests.
Yeah, so, he has. So,
and like, and Mario Lopez is a big. Everyone loves Mario Lopez, so there's that, and that's why you got to bring him back. I just, you know, I'm wondering if I should look at this through the glasses of this isn't good TV, Alex. Just because Mark Paul Gosselaar and they brought Kelly Kapowski back in on it. I just think it's funny that Zach Morris is the governor of California. That just is amazing to me.
Isn't that totally a California thing?
Well, yeah. I mean, Gavin Newsom was for sure the Zach Morris of his high school.
But electing a celebrity as a governor?
Yes.
Have you even done that?
Well, no, I'm just saying that. But Zach Morris isn't like a celebrity.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah, but his hair is definitely, definitely blonde. So,
yeah.
I'm sure we'll be introduced. Maybe it'll be like it'll be like those things where they introduce those characters early, and then they just fade them out because then they're just trying to get you to eat the new cereal.
So the original characters are on like the first two episodes?
Yeah, or three, and they just kind of like peter out. There's no Mr. Belding, by the way, either. They're going to have a scene where they visit the graveyard to visit Screech and Mr. Belding's graves. That's what I'm assuming is going on.
You think so?
Yeah.
Because Mr. Belding is still alive.
Is he? What's his name?
Hold on.
No, don't
on,
do this. Don't
on,
do this.
Stand by.
All right.
Dennis Haskins.
Dennis Haskins. There you go.
Yeah, he's still alive, man.
All right.
Born in 1950. He's 69.
Well,
so
I think that you got to bring Mr. Belding back at some point.
I've seen him recently.
Well, when you say recently, you mean like in the last 12 years probably.
No, like in something more, more
he's
contemporary.
He has not been using his acting chops.
Yeah,
okay.
He has.
You told me that you had a bunch of, quote, stink for the show.
Hold on. Alex, he's been doing a bunch of TV. He's doing TV. He's
you
doing
haven't
three
seen
or four TV,
TV
projects every single year.
He writes them?
No, he's in them.
Oh. What did you say his name was? Haskins.
Dennis Haskins. Yeah, if you look at his filmography, he's super active. He's got multiple things. He's got so many irons in the fire.
Well, good for him.
all right. I did have something, Alex. I saw an amazing article. Maybe you saw this too. One of my coworkers said he even saw it yesterday, so I was really behind the times, which makes sense for me. Costco drops a coconut milk brand over allegations of forced monkey labor.
No.
According to PETA.
Go.
So PETA published this this report saying monkey-free coconut due diligence assessment.
So it's like, they don't get that confused, because we used to make dolphins catch tuna for us too, right? Isn't that what the dolphin-free situation was for the tuna industry?
Well, yeah, I guess.
Is that what the dolphins did? They caught the tuna and they said, "Here it is. I caught it for you." Or were there bits of monkey in the coconut water? I'm very confused.
Dolphin safe tuna is they make them wear helmets.
Okay. So anyway, monkeys are in your coconut water. Keep going.
No, they use it's
how
monkey
on earth
labor.
Do they how on earth is it monkey labor?
They use monkeys to pick the coconuts.
This okay, first of all, the fact that like Costco, who's like the beacon of retail across the universe, it had to find out that somebody was using monkeys to pick their coconuts. Oh, so, man, that's good stuff.
PETA president Ingrid Newkirk says, quote, "No kind shopper wants monkeys to be chained up and treated like coconut picking machines."
Sorry.
Costco made the right call to reject animal exploitation, and PETA's calling on holdouts like Kroger.
Wasn't this a Simpsons episode? Weren't the monkeys typing things? I feel
I said the same thing. I said someone find the monkey labor Simpsons episode, because I know it's there.
It's there. For
they
sure.
They have the monkeys on typewriters.
Yeah, that's what it was. They're chained up and they're smoking. That's what I remember. Yes.
And they're typing it out and they're trying to. It's the thousand monkeys.
Yes, and he's
typing
like,
America's Great Novel.
Right, and he goes and he hands him like a draft and he's like, "This is garbage."
He reads it. He says, "I can't believe I feel like I'm nailing this scene. I feel like I'm remembering word for word." He picks it up. Krusty picks it up and says, "It was the best of times. It was the blurst of times. This is junk."
It's so stupid. That is the dumbest thing. See, where both of our brains went straight to the Simpsons.
I know it's out there. So Costco follows Walgreens, Food Lion, Giant Food, and Stop and Shop, which apparently are grocery stores.
Right.
Which apparently are absurdly named. Crazy.
Ethan, I found something for you.
This is a thousand monkeys working at a thousand typewriters. Soon, they'll have written the greatest novel known to man. Let's see. It was the best of times. It was the blurst of times. You stupid monkey.
It was Mr. Burns. It wasn't Krusty, but
wasn't
you got
Krusty.
It. Yeah.
Otherwise, we nailed it.
It was the blurst of times. You stupid monkey. Oh, my heavens. Monkey. Now, look, I don't want to make light of the fact that monkeys are picking your coconut water, but if they're picking your coconuts, and this is the first we're finding out about it, you can guarantee that Kirkland Signature brand Nutella is being processed by armadillos in Madagascar or something. I don't know.
It's slave squirrels.
Yes, it's because they're hazelnuts.
Enslaved squirrels. They're out picking hazelnuts.
Look, I don't want to make light of it, but here we are. So
yeah, I agree with you.
I saw this week that Coca-Cola was dropping one of their coconut water brands, but they're dropping a bunch of brands that aren't performing. And so maybe that was an easy breakup that they were able to do too. They go, "Hey, this coconut water is not selling well, and I think we're actually using slave monkey labor, like the Simpsons. Did you see the Simpsons episode? Coca-Cola CEO. That's what I think that they were. I don't know.
And
it's terrible."
And I secretly think that we've all figured out that coconut water is terrible.
It is awful.
And I gave it a shot.
And it was the brand, I can't remember what it was called, but it was the one that they're like, "Hey, you want this coconut water?" You're like, "What's it taste like?" They're like, "Not good, but I'm going to put it in this cardboard box."
No, I'll tell you
so
what
you
it
can drink
like.
It out of this cardboard box and it'll be really great.
Here's how they make coconut water, all right? Someone takes a sip out of a water bottle, sloshes it around in their mouth, and spits it into another water bottle.
No, there's got to be coconut involved in it, though.
It vaguely tastes like there's something in there, and what you're tasting is someone else's spirit.
Well, what happens is in the movies, remember when you're a kid and you assume that inside the coconut is a coconut milkshake? Like, you think
it's going
to be amazing, but it's
because they
not.
Put a straw in there, and on TV they put a straw and an umbrella, and you're like, "Oh, I'll take one of those."
Right. Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, Gilligan's Island, they lied to us in so many ways.
Marianne. Okay, Ethan.
I discovered long ago that you could not trust adults in this country.
I discovered long ago you couldn't use monkeys to harvest the coconut.
I think obviously Pete is right. Pete is right to insist that we stop using monkeys as unpaid labor.
Let me.
It's not fair.
Ethan, do you have a Zen headline? Because I feel terrible now because of these animals.
We should, however, continue using cattle as enslaved labor.
Well, the thing is, if we ate monkeys, it'd be different, right? We'd be okay with it.
All right. Have a personality.
Ethan, bring us a Zen headline. Tell us what Zen headlines are even for, brother.
So Zen headlines are headlines that are designed to make you feel good, designed to help you finish your day happy, finish your commute happy, wherever you're listening to us. If you see a Zen headline, use the hashtag Zen headlines and share it with us, and we will use it in the show, and we would love to do that. And so use the hashtag Zen headlines and share it with us on social media, and we'll use it.
There you go.
Sound good?
What do you got?
All right. This I found on CNN. I thought this was a great Zen headline. Do your civic duty and get a cookie from Paul Rudd.
Oh.
One of America's great entertainers. The actor spent Thursday morning handing out blueberry and cream cookies, which sound like pretend cookies, to early voters in Brooklyn as people lined up in the rain waiting to cast their vote. Rudd waited with them, handing out cookies as voters left the polls.
That's nice.
Isn't that cool?
I think that the I voted sticker is not what we need. The incentive that we need to vote is
the I voted cookie.
Is cookies. Yeah. You've got cookies or maybe even like a brownie. Something like that. Because the I voted sticker it gives you the satisfaction of telling your coworkers that you're better than they are. Mm-hmm. You may have voted before they did. But there's no actual satisfaction to the tummy. So
I don't wear the I voted sticker. You know why?
I don't either.
Because it's no one's business.
I had that. I've had those awkward conversations where your kids are like, "Dad, who'd you vote for?" My teacher wants to know. I was like, "No, they don't." Yeah, my teacher wants to know who our parents are voting for. I'm like, "Don't you dare answer that question!" And I'm never telling you. I've inherited that from my parents. Where I'm like, "I'm not talking to you about my voting."
I did too. It's a secret ballot for a reason. But you know what, though? And for the most part, it's been fine. A few people have rolled their eyes at me over the years. Like, just tell me.
Well, like, do you tell your wife?
No.
See, that's
essentially. She's the last person I'm going to confide
in. That's the thing is, my wife is like, why aren't you telling me? I'm like, I don't know. Ethan's like pressuring me into being secretive about it.
So, I'll tell you who's really given me the biggest grief about is my son. My son cannot believe that I won't tell him who I voted for. It really bothers him. So I'm going to keep doing it. I think it's hilarious. But I will tell you this. The most pressure I've ever got from anyone to reveal for whom I voted. And I don't know if you remember this. This was many, many, many moons ago when Mitt Romney ran for president. And KSL News Radio sent a couple of us to Boston on election night.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was one of them. I was there. Andrew Adams was there. And maybe one other person. A couple of people from TV.
Sure, yeah.
And as I was leaving the next day, early, I had an early flight. So I was up and I went, got on the metro. And there was a woman in the metro who... she started chatting with me. I think she was taking tickets. I can't remember what she was doing, but she worked for the Metro. And she said, "Oh, yeah, you're here." And she said, "Where are you from?" And I said, "Well, I'm from Utah." And she said, "Well, who'd you vote for?" And I said, "Well, you know, I don't ever reveal that." And she said, "No." He said, "You're from Utah. You voted for Romney, too." And I just demurred. I was not going to give in, right? And at one point, she was going, "You voted for Mitt Romney. Admit it. Admit you voted for Mitt Romney." And
see, that's the kind of stuff I'm like, yeah.
She got so intense, and I'm not kidding, Alex. I thought she might attack me. She got so intense, and she was an Obama voter, so
right?
She's big time.
Yeah,
Obama.
So she was.
And I was like, oh my goodness, she's getting crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, I should have recorded it and had her fired.
And had her fired.
In hindsight, I should have gotten my phone.
Yeah. No, now that's what you do now. It would have been real. You would have just relied on the third party video to help it out. All right.
Oh, yeah.
For Ethan Millett, I'm Alex Keery. Thanks for downloading the podcast and listening to the program. We'll keep doing these every week as long as you keep a smartphone in your pocket listening. So for Ethan, I'm Alex. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. Bye, Ethan.
See ya.
All right. There you go.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.